me, baby, don't you know me?
Welcome back to the Traumedy Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Kenneth Allen bringing you another amazing episode. This is a simul podcast that will be done with San Jose Fire Department with my good buddy Patrick Chung, Captain Patty Chung, who is now setting up his own podcast that is tailored for San Jose firefighters, which is such a great idea because we have just an amazing group of firefighters at that city that have so many other interesting lives that they lead, and his thing is just to kind of do like a character study of different firefighters that happen to work for the department. I love that idea. So and he said, hey man, it's from listening to your podcast too, dude, so this is like your inspiration. So he's interviewed already. First interviewee was our old friend Sundance Scardino that was on the podcast a few years ago talking about his experience as a pararescue. Now called Guardian Angel, his redeployment back into Afghanistan voluntarily. And now his situation is PTSD that he's dealing with, and it's pretty hard. So if you do have a chance, please listen to that podcast that Patrick Chung's putting up. Listen to the one that I put up as well if you want to. Go back. It's called Sundance Scardino Says Embrace the Suck, which is his motto, and it's amazing. And he's now in a good documentary called When Good Men Break. So please check that out. He's an amazing person. But anyway, I digress. I'm impressed with Patrick trying to set this up for the department at large, and I thank him for having me on. Thanks, Pat. And so what we're going to do is just simultaneously put one out for Traumedy's sake and put one out for San Jose's sake. And we just kind of go through my situation that I've been speaking with you about for the last 6 months. Another quick update on everything. I've done a PET scan. It came back inconclusive. So I shouldn't say it like that. It's not necessarily inconclusive. They're just seeing some highlighted colors. I don't know if you know how a PET scan works, but they give you a radioactive sugar, and the whatever uptakes that sugar first will highlight in a lighter color in the MRI. Or it's called a PET scan in this case. So what they're seeing is in that same place that they did the surgeries that they're noticing some highlighted colors there, which doesn't necessarily mean it's a cancer. What it means is that there's active cells there, which would make sense. If I had surgery there, they're trying to rebuild, and so there's some thickening and some highlights that they, you know, they can't, as they say, can't rule out malignant tumor, or they can't rule out, you know, some kind of tumor activity yet. And I've heard that that's also normal. Doesn't mean that I have to have surgery just yet. But you want to just, boy, I just wanted to go in there and they go, hey, man, you're all clear, kid. Boom, you know, Han Solo me, and I just drop them photon bombs, just, and then fly out X-Wing fighter style. And like I'm running out of the Kaiser building as it explodes like the Death Star, and I'm all gadoosh. And like save the world kind of thing, but nothing quite as dramatic. It just says everything is looking okay. We don't know if there's anything new. You need to go in for another PET scan soon and see what's going on there. So it seems like most of this stuff becomes anticlimactic and just more anxiety filled than elation filled. So excuse me. So that's what the situation is for me. Other than that, I'm trying to just get healthy and running a little bit more. If you're interested, anybody want to go on hikes in Fairfax? Anybody want to come up to my little place over here at Unitet Studios near Fairfax? I'm not going to tell you where I live. I know there's some stalkers out there. Some gals are trying to find out where the Bone Shack's located. I ain't going to tell you. You don't get to know right now. You don't know my address. And so, anyway, if you're interested, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing a trying to train back into my fight and weight. I did lose a lot of weight. Well, about 15 pounds. I think some of it's muscle, but I'm definitely down a waist size or two, which is good. So I'm just kind of building off of this frame, and we'll see what happens in the next month. This month coming up is big. I got to find, I need to make the decision on where to go back, when to go back, and how to go back full time. Full duty or light duty. And that's what's going on. You know, this is the stuff that people that have cancer have to deal with. And it's just one of those unfortunate situations. Really want to go back and be with the guys and the girls. I shouldn't just say guys, but be with the family again. Because, man, it feels good. It really does. So even if I don't go back full duty, what I'll probably, because of my where I live, I'll probably have to go and do a five-day work week and end up staying in one of the, if that's the case, staying in one of the fire stations, crashing on a couch, and or, you know, crashing at a buddy's house or something, which is still better than me sitting at my home alone. Because you're hanging out with the people anyway. So anything, you know, it'll work out. I got to say, hey, there's been some really hard situations here. The fact that I don't have money coming in, the fact that I had some real serious issues with losing my medical insurance in the midst of all of this, even though I had planned it out to make sure that I had it, I ended up losing it. And there's a lot of backsliding that's occurred in the last couple of weeks to the last couple of months that have been a little disheartening. And I got not depressed, but just frustrated, really frustrated that I have to work in a system that I'm trying to get my money. I'm trying to get disability. I'm trying to get everything going, trying to have health insurance for all these scans and everything I have to do. And now I'm paying a lot of money for insurance now because I don't qualify for low income health insurance because technically I'm still on the books for all this. Anyway, all stuff you're really excited to hear, but needless to say, it's been a trying month and a half, shall we say. And there's just moments where you go, boy, I didn't think it was going to be this too on top of it. I figured at 6 months, the momentum would be going forward. Just give me something to hang on to. Give me something here, man. Like something out there has got to give me some kind of foothold to go, okay, here's where we rally from. And that's the big issue now. It's just kind of, come on. When's this next window of opportunity going to open? And I'm going to see where to go next. So this is usually, again, in the movie where the guy, like, throws something against the wall and, like, the pattern on the wall, he goes, wait a minute. 4, 5, 6, splash pattern. 4, 5, 6, splash pattern. And runs off and, like, does some mathematical equation and goes, that's it. And grabs the paper and, like, runs, you know, over to the Secret Service. Figure. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm waiting for, is that thing to happen in the midst of my frustration to see my new insight. Hasn't happened yet, but there are these little whispers of things that I go, shoot, should I just follow that? That's maybe where it's at. Maybe follow a couple of these things out to see what comes to fruition. And completely non sequitur to that, I'm going to be playing this Thursday, May 25th, not to timestamp this thing, as all the podcast professionals say, but hey, May 25th, I'm going to be playing music, my acoustic stuff. Your boy's back in action doing his guitar, harmonica, singing, songwriting, amazing song thing that I haven't done in a long time. At least this has given me an opportunity to do that. So I will be playing at Rancho Nicasio in Nicasio, California on Thursday. Doors open at 7. Please come down if you got a chance. I'd love to see you and be good to catch up. Otherwise, I will keep you abreast of other dates of my other activities that are going on. So the thing I just realized is, man, I have a lot of other hobbies. I have a lot of other skills. And I got to make those work for me now. I got to make this stuff work. If we're not adaptable. We have to be adaptable. People that are dogmatic end up dying, but the ones that mutate are the ones that survive. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm just adapting and overcoming, and that's going to be in a nice, harmonious way, literally, on Thursday over at Rancho Nicasio, California. So if you're interested and you can make it, please do show up. It's free. And I'll be there and greeting and having a good time with a bunch of other amazing musicians, actually. The guy who runs it's name is Mark Nichols. And he's all, Mark Nichol, and he's a great dude, very, very kind dude, and talented, and he sets the whole thing up. So that'll be happening there. Other than that, everybody, if you have any questions and comments, next week, I'm sorry, it's 10 minutes into this, but I just wanted to say, next week I'm going to be doing a Q&A. So any questions, anything related to fire or EMS or getting into the medical profession or the fire profession or crazy calls or questions about, you know, that rash on your body that you can't quite figure out, you don't know what it is, just send me an email and give me, you know, a pseudonym that you want to be called by, and I'll ask those questions out there, okay? So that'll be next week. So please, you either email me on the Facebook site, Dramedy Podcast site for Facebook, or UNITET at hotmail.com, UNITET as in UNITET Studios at hotmail.com. And I'll answer that stuff next week. I'm going to try and set up a regular, you know, well, I'm going to try. I'm just going to do like, a Q&A sessions for everybody. So every couple of weeks to maybe a month or so, just to keep this thing regular and having fun with it. And let's see. Yeah, now I had one more thing to say to you, but I can't remember. Now I can remember, guess what it is. We still have an Amazon banner on traumatypodcast.com website. If you want to buy anything on Amazon, click Traumaty Podcast first, go to that spot, click on the little Amazon site banner. I think mine right now just shows Kindle because I dig Kindle, and that was the thing that I had to put on there. But it doesn't mean you buy Kindles. It just means you click on that, and it brings you to the Amazon site. And then from there, you shop to your heart's content, and I get a little kickback. At zero cost to you. It gives us, they take the money off of what you're buying and give a percentage to me. It's a very, very tiny percentage, but it helps me feel like I'm moving forward monetarily. I'm moving, my momentum there is moving. And I like that. I like that I'm getting someplace. I like that I'm trying other avenues and they're working out for me. So please do that. Check it out. Go to the Amazon banner at www.traumatypodcast.com. Not only can you find the podcast there, but you can find that banner. You click on it, and then you go shop. All right. Thanks, everybody. I love you. And listen up. This is me with Patrick Chung, and we're doing the podcast over in San Jose. Thanks again, Pat. Everybody, I hope you enjoy. Stay healthy. Stay happy. And if you got it, use it. Talk to you soon. Love you. Okay. I'm recording on my end as well.
Perfect.
This is Simulpod.
Simulcast.
Exactly. Simulpod. I like that. That's stupid. Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right, we're in.
So, today, joined by firefighter paramedic extraordinaire, Ken Allen.
How are you, sir?
Very good.
Very good.
The motivation behind getting these podcasts out was to kind of introduce our members to people that have been on the line, might have been gone for a little bit. We want to share your story, your experiences specific to cancer, which is a very, very important hot button issue right now in the fire service.
Sure is.
But first, let's talk about how you got into podcasting, because that's how this all came about. Just recently, you know, we had Sundance come in and talk about some of the things he's going through, as well as telling some great stories about his pararescue time. But obviously, one of the ways I got introduced into the podcast world was your story with Sundance on how he got back into pararescue. So How'd you get into podcasting?
Well, I love podcasts. For some reason, I gravitate towards them. So I listen to them all the time, commuting back and forth to work, because it's, you know, like an hour here, hour back. So it's basically a podcast episode there and back. I loved audiobooks, and it just kind of seemed like a free-form thing. Now, the other thing is, I grew up around DMS. My father was San Francisco Fire. Grandfather was San Francisco Fire. Dad was first San Francisco paramedic in history. And there's all just legends about him. And my mother was the EMS instructor of San Francisco and basically taught every single firefighter there. So growing up, I have all of these family outings, hanging out at the fire department with these legends of San Francisco, and just grew up around him. And I thought, I got to get these people's stories out. So I said, what the heck? Why don't I just start a podcast, start talking to all these people? And then, you know, not only do I get to hang out with my friends and, you know, family and just kind of talk them up and make everybody feel good, but then it kind of gets the message out, like you're trying to do, to the community about these unsung heroes. Because you know how hard it is to get a firefighter to talk about themselves.
Absolutely.
So the real key is to ask poignant questions and kind of just talk them up. And who doesn't love that about themselves? So, like you're trying to do, I think it's important to get everybody their time in the limelight, and make people see just, like, you know, the diamonds in the rough of the EMS community. That's what I love doing. Plus, it's a great way for me to talk to authors, maybe books that I've read. It's amazing how easy it is to just contact the author. Or maybe their publicist, and they go, yeah, sure, here's your email. And all of a sudden, you're talking to somebody that's you thought was impossible to reach, and I'm doing a podcast with.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Well, I think, in its own right, if we had the ability to interview every member of the San Jose Fire Department, you'd have a million good stories, and people would really find out that the people that work for San Jose Fire Department are extraordinary people in their own right.
Absolutely.
Everyone's got their own walk of life that they came from. Everyone's got their own crazy experiences here on the job. We could compile quite a database of just...
Unbelievable database. Yeah, think about it. Everybody's got their own story, and kind of just use, like, the fire as the hub, and then they're like... I'm also a professional dancer on the side,
exactly.
Like Big Alex Lee. Know what I mean? They're like, and I'm also, I travel the world. So it's just, they're kind of like, firefighters are like Renaissance men, I think, of the 21st century.
It.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, oh, by the way, save lives, run and burn buildings, pull people out, do CPR, save a life. Anyway, when I was over in Venice last year, you know, like, what a crazy
tradesmen,
dichotomy of people. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Construction workers, you know, it's roofer, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys you interviewed, and that had a huge impact on how I was at the fire station or on the job, was Tony Stefani.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in on some San Francisco firefighter cancer prevention program meetings, and we learned a lot about how we want to kind of structure our initiative or our foundation here in San Jose, which is still going to be a huge process to get going here. But we were really motivated by what San Francisco and Local 798's doing in the city to kind of curb cancer in the fire service. But I know this is going to have, obviously, inroads to your experiences. You know, just the fact that you interviewed this gentleman who had gone through the fight, who was a survivor at the end, and for you to then just follow right behind him and basically go through, talk to me about your diagnosis, and how did you find out you had cancer?
Last September, I was actually at the firehouse shaving. I sneezed and I felt like a little blood coming out of my nose, and then I blew my nose and a lot of blood started coming out. To the point where I was blocking it up, and it wasn't making any good. I'm miming, blocking my nose right now. And I could feel it was bleeding deeper in my head, or deeper in the back of the sinuses. And that bled for about 20 minutes. And I kind of sat there and went, boy, what if we get a call right now? How am I going to handle this? It stopped. Went about the day. That night at the dinner table, Ed Juba said something funny, you know, a rare situation for him. And so I laughed because, you know, he's not that funny. So, and it bled, and it started bleeding again. And I said, oh, damn it. Okay. So as a firefighter, as a paramedic, you kind of know something's bleeding like that. It needs to get checked out. No other symptoms. No headaches. No no double vision.
Pretty, like...
Zero situation. But something in the back of my head said, this is bad.
Wow.
This is something that needs to get checked out. And, hey, don't ignore the intuition of your body. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And so I went in and saw a physician who referred me to an ear, nose, and throat doctor who happened to be there that day. And she said, send him down right now. I have time. She penciled me in, fit me in, and went in, and she said, well, you have a polyp on your right side and not on your left, so let's get a biopsy on it right now. Nothing to freak out about yet, but get a biopsy, and she sent me down to a CT scan that day. So I kind of figured something was up if she's pushing this hard, but I appreciate that she did. And then it took a while for the biopsy to come back. It took a few weeks, and that was also startling. She said, we sent it to the first histology clinic, and they weren't sure what it was. So we have to send it to a bigger place. And a few weeks later, in October 10th, I was at the firehouse, and she called and said, well, they've done a biopsy. This is what's called esthesioneuroblastoma, which is cancer of the olfactory nerve, which is very rare.
Right.
And... she said, you're going to need some surgery. What we see is a mass basically right in the middle of your head, sinuses.
That's big are we talking?
Golf ball.
Oh, my God.
About the size of a golf ball. With an arm, with an appendage like an amoeba going into my right eye. It had broken through the orbital hole.
So you had impact to your vision?
It had not impacted my vision yet, but the tumor was encroaching on the eye, and on the muscles. That hold, like the intermedial muscle and the superior muscle. So, but still no visual disturbances, luckily. Because later she said, boy, I was really worried you're going to lose your eye, which made me freak out. I mean, you hear that later after the story's over, so guys, it's got a happier ending. But, and then it was also going back towards the back of my brain. So it had started to crawl. The olfactory nerve, if you don't know, runs straight from the back of the brain directly to your two sides, left and right sinuses. And it was moving back towards the brain and back towards the spinal cord. So the surgery was for them to go in. Luckily, they were able to do it through my nose, both sides, go up into that, find the tumor, excise it, take it out of the eye. Yeah.
Wow.
And then go back into the back of the skull, cut the skull plate out.
Oh, my God.
They took a graft from my leg to build there's a little covering around the brain called the dura mater. They had to cut that off. Take out the nerve, and then patch a new coating over the dura mater, and then patch that skull back where they took it apart.
So from diagnosis to surgery, what was the time frame on that?
That was about a month and a half.
Wow, so you guys moved quick. I mean, relatively speaking, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't feel quick, but that's as soon as they could schedule it, and they said this is an okay amount of time, and if it were needed sooner, we'd do it sooner.
Wow. So when you first got the diagnosis or the confirmation that it was cancer, what was running through your head?
I mean, what do you think's running through anybody's head that you're?
Because you're
sitting there at the fire station, and I'm just going, oh no, this is it. You don't ever assume that you're going to have cancer. I mean, I should have been piecing things together up until that point. I hate to say the cliche, you're never ready to hear it. But that you kind of just, I actually didn't know who to call, didn't know what to say. And I think I talked to Captain Juba was there, and he said, I'm like, well, I got cancer. He's like, oh, okay. Well, you're going home right now. And I'm like, well, I don't really know if I should go home.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fine, but I'm dealing with this. And he said, no, you're going.
No, you're absolutely
right. We're
going
to work this out. There's
nothing,
probably not going to be in the right head.
There's nothing to prepare you for that.
No, it's like, okay, and I have cancer. Okay, I have cancer. It just runs through your head. There's an interesting situation where you hear the statistics.
Right.
But no one believes they're going to be a part of that. So that coming to terms with that and then saying, well, of course I do. We all get it. So that realization of saying like, oh, all right, well, I'm not going to have to worry about, oh, no. That's 68% of it. Okay. So I'm one of those. you know? And the fact that it's so rare, the fact that this comes only from, or people that get it are people that work in chemical refineries or, you know, metal plants where they're melting different metals and smelting and using caustic chemicals, you know, right. Except what do? We run into buildings where all of these plastics, chemicals and metals are on fire. So
off-gassing, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's what we're dealing with. And it's not so much the fire, it's the salvage and overhaul, unfortunately, the stuff we don't want to wear SCBAs for.
Right.
We have to.
So I want to hear about your lifestyle pre-cancer. Is it any different than it is today?
I was very active, traveled a lot, worked out 4 or 5 times a day or a week.
Yeah.
At least double days at the fire station. Yeah. I'm sure you knew that. You had to do mornings and afternoons. We were working out together. I was very active. And now, after everything, lost 20 pounds. I think some of it might be the muscle. But just your body just starts super eating itself in order to have enough energy to fix the things that, you know, the surgery and the radiation. So, so not as active anymore. I've been trying to get back in shape to come back to the line. But, and again, very healthy. I ate very well.
Exactly. So,
which is,
I
so
hate
crazy
to say this, but when I hear a guy like me in my profession,
yeah,
gets diagnosed with cancer, I want to hear he had the worst diet in the world.
I know.
He wasn't active. He wasn't working out 4 times a week.
Uh-huh.
That's what I want to hear.
Of course, I know.
But this,
I can't say that.
It
because
can be anyone.
No, because, I mean, you were at 18 with me for a long
exactly
time, and you know how we ate. It was low carbs. It was small
healthy
portions. It was
absolutely
great food. Nothing really fried, you know. It was. We're very, very health conscious about that stuff.
So it comes down to our occupation.
It does.
What we're exposed to.
Unfortunately, it really does.
So, okay, I wanted to ask, you know, what message would you like to share with your brothers and sisters to possibly prevent a situation like this, like for them to go through it? But it's not about diet.
No.
It's not about exercise. It may be about something to do with sleep or something along the lines.
I think so, very much so.
But we're talking exposure to carcinogenic materials that are on fire.
Yeah.
So I guess the recommendation we could have, hey, brothers and sisters out there, wear your bottle, wear your mask, no matter what, if it's a car fire, dumpster fire.
Especially car fires.
Does it give you a different perspective of how you operate today?
Of course, yeah.
Right.
Got it. We have to.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to. I have to. If I'm cleared to come back.
Right.
Like, I'm walking in like Darth Vader to every single salvage and overhaul call.
Yeah.
There's no other way around it. This stuff, like, once you get exposed again, you're twice as likely to get it. So, I mean, we need to be, hey, who wants to wear an SCBA during salvage and overhaul?
Right. It's hot in there. It's cramped.
Except you fought and you're going back in.
Yeah.
So what's going to have to happen? And it sounds like there's protocols already starting here.
Right.
Higher turnover of people inside doing salvage and overhaul. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know, in either way, don't get too exhausted. You're wearing an SCBA in there and, you know, you get tired, come out.
Yeah. Now, we're having these conversations with senior staff and with council members to try to implement these cancer prevention programs.
Mm-hmm.
Best practice. We're doing research on what San Francisco is doing, what San Antonio, what Cincinnati, all these progressive departments that are moving towards reduced exposure to carcinogenic materials by increased turnover of crews at the fire scene. Hey, first in, first out type deals. What we're running into is there's a talk of how it would impact response times.
Yeah,
there's a talk of how much money it costs.
Sure.
There's, you know, there's tough decisions that need to be made. But when it comes down to it, what we tell our elected officials is, hey, just an ounce of prevention here. What could that save you when it comes to treating full-blown cancer?
That's correct. That's what, when you crunch the numbers.
And that's just the financial aspect of it's not necessarily the impact to a human being that
of
is
course not
working for your organization.
No, and that's how you'd like to reach the
absolutely
city through humanitarian, you know, ideology, but you're not. You're going to reach them through financial.
Right.
And say, look how much this costs for 68% of your people to
exactly
be on disability or long-term disability versus the just changing some protocols around, and we're going to have more stations,
exactly,
more crews in order to have higher turnaround at fires and still have the response times
got
that are
it
required.
But it's obviously a cultural change too for our guys and gals, right?
Yep.
I mean, they're here, they're going to hear this, they're going to say, oh man, yeah, that's serious, that sucks, but I've been doing this for 20 years this way.
Mm.
And what would you imagine that the cultural change, the catalyst?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I look like. I'm a specimen. You saw me in action. I was surgical with the hose on the fire line. I mean, just incredible, almost prescient when I was doing patient care. You know, I'm a model firefighter. They can make an action figure out of me. And yet I got cancer. I'm the one. You're going to have to change this up. Okay, there's a latency period, to be honest. There is a latency period that it takes for a tumor to grow. And so a lot of you out there right now have the carcinogens in your body. What you need to do is change the lifestyle to become healthy enough if and when this starts to grow, that your body can combat it, that you'll be healthy enough for the surgeries and the treatments to follow.
And that's why the diet, that's why the lifestyle.
That's right for that part, yeah. Exactly. And if you're new or you're in 10 years, still, there's time that you, if you're taking care of yourself and you're washing yourself and clearing these carcinogens, you're healthy, your body is still fighting the cancer. I don't know if people realize, like, tumors grow all the time in your body, and your body will fight it off if you have a good immune system, if you're eating the right foods, if you're getting exercise. That is your body fighting this stuff. So you have to maintain an active lifestyle, get good sleep, eat the right foods, and minimize the amount
of exposure
yeah. to those carcinogens.
Absolutely.
Well, every day is practicing this. You know, meditative yeah. process. You gotta practice yeah. this stuff every
day. We can crack a couple of our brothers and sisters out there and just get them to think about
sure.
this differently or
mm-hmm.
relate this story to their job and what they do day in, day out. I think will make a huge difference here. I mean, just one or two people.
That's right. And if we get a good couple of people that are leaders.
Exactly.
Then people will follow what they're doing.
Yes.
It only takes that one person on the crew to just go, hey, let's put our stuff on.
Put the mask on. Exactly.
That's it. And then people fall in line. Now, and that's really how it goes.
Okay. We talked about the dollars and cents of this.
Yeah.
And I know you had a specific experience with workers' compensation
that
we absolutely need to convey here today. Because one of the people that I want to hear this is Councilmember Chappie Jones, who's leading our cancer prevention initiative
mm-hmm.
at Public Safety Finance Strategic Support Committee.
Okay.
And that's a long-winded word, but it's our way of getting the lawmakers to start putting some pressure on the department to get us to best practice.
Okay.
Now, we have a workers' comp system here. The city of San Jose is self-insured. We've had vendors come and go as third-party administrators to providing that workers' compensation for our employees. I want to say that we've come around to improving the system and getting a better TPA or third-party administrator, but I know Ken Allen went through
a very different situation.
Exactly. So let's hear it.
I don't know how much I can get into because now it's gone to a legal battle.
Wow.
I have not received... I lost any pay, is what it came down to. I was on a disability pending a qualified medical evaluation. At the first of the year, there was medical insurance. The third-party
administrator
switched January 1st.
Right.
As of that, the new party came, saw my case, and shut it down. It's denied any further claim. I ran through all my vacation, all my sick time, and now I'm not getting any disability through them. So that is what is now in legal battles about. I haven't had any ability to go to a doctor. In fact, I'm going tomorrow because my lawyer insisted and said, look, he's got to get in. It's been 5 months and you're not setting anything up and he's not getting any money and nothing is moving forward.
So let's summarize this again. We have a San Jose firefighter that gets diagnosed with a very rare cancer of the olfactory that is tied specifically to industrial workers inhaling or being exposed to carcinogenic materials that are only found in certain areas.
That's right.
Firefighters obviously deal with these materials on fire and
yes.
burning in a structure, in a garage, God
mm-hmm.
knows what we keep in there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Comes down with the olfactory cancer, gets diagnosed, goes to workers' compensation to file a claim, gets put through the process until the first of the year when we switch providers, and then suddenly their claim is dropped and denied. So
that's correct.
How is that taking care of our people? How's that?
And I got to say, I think this is one of those situations where because there's a switch and a turnover, there's, from what I'm seeing, there's no system in place for my situation. In many ways, I'm kind of the canary in the coal mine in this. San Francisco has things lined up. And by the way, they've been incredible. I've not just Tony, who's incredible. Tony Stefani, Captain Stefani, is amazing. But Jeff Malone, these guys are contacting me on a regular basis. Family, friends, but also professional brothers.
Right.
And sending me the information I need. Look, you need to talk to this person, and this person. Because they already have this, unfortunately, more in place in San Francisco. Because right. So many more people in San Francisco get cancer. In fact, my father had it, too. And so they kind of know the steps that are involved. San Jose, not as much right. now. So now I'm forced to be the one to be the example in this situation and have to go through it. And I'll say San Jose Fire has been incredible.
Good.
The city, and they're fighting together or, you know, along with the city and the third party to come to some resolution. However, I'm still going to need somebody else to speak with it. But to speak with them and get this resolved. But yeah, you're right. There's not anything in place yet.
Yeah.
So maybe at the end of this, what this causes is some protocol for a firefighter.
Absolutely.
Who gets this, who you have to go into kind of, you know, I have to go and get this settled. But in the meantime, at least I'm compensated.
Well, it's like if this occupation is that much more exposed to the risk of cancer,
yes.
why wouldn't we be the leading edge of our industry? Why wouldn't we be a public safety agency that has every resource available to help a brother or sister firefighter out in
yeah.
this situation? Now, I know there's the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. There's, like you said, Local 798's done amazing
yeah.
things with getting their program up and running. They're part of cutting-edge cancer research and identification as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it's about time San Jose jumps on the train of saying, hey, we know this is a serious issue. What, in 2014, all those studies came out basically tying us with increased cancer rates.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no denying the studies. There's no denying the research. We just got to get around to saying it's impacting us already.
Yeah, we're already going through it. We're
exactly.
still going through it. And here's the thing. Cancer is going to be a people are going to live through it. So people are going to be... City's going to have to pay into these people. People
right.
are doing better after cancer. It's not a death sentence like it was 30 years ago.
Right.
So these people are going to be around, and you're going to have to pay into this thing. The other thing is this. Firefighters should be aligning themselves with hospitals and actual cancer research
Absolutely.
Hospitals, because who's the best study of people to align yourself with if you're studying cancer?
Exactly.
The people that 68% of this population gets.
More than half.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we should be not just looking at it as firefighters first to get cancer, but cancer patients that can be studied in hospitals. Do you see what I mean? Like,
Absolutely.
Use it as like we're the cancer is the subject. Firefighting or the fact that we're exposed to that, you know, that's a causation to
right.
it. But align ourselves with hospitals and actual cancer research centers as the unfortunate guinea pigs of this and say, look, help us out. How are we supposed to prevent this? What are other ways to handle this situation? And what do we do if we get it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
anyway,
you know,
yeah.
I wish we could get to some resolution today, but I know... Getting,
oh, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Give me five more minutes.
Exactly, right? We can figure out all the world's problems there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's a serious issue that is going to take a little bit of time and procedures to get through. But with your firsthand experiences going through this, suffering from
mm-hmm.
the treatments, the surgery, talk to me about recovery.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I finished radiation about a month, maybe a little bit longer than that ago. And that's a pain. That's just 5 days a week every day.
Yeah.
You go in Monday through Friday, and they radiate your face, which you don't feel. I mean, they lock your face down into a machine that looks kind of like a CT scanner, and they just blast you with gamma rays. And then your face just starts melting, and it starts swelling, and you lose all your – like I lost the hair around my face. I thought this was going to be gone. I thought it was going to be pencil-thin mustache from here
nice.
On out.
You can be
but,
part of those European films.
But I'd love to do that. but it all grew back. Unfortunately, like the nose hair is growing back.
Nice.
It's a bummer. It's like, well, at least
yeah.
it won't be hair in the
like
ears and nose. Yeah. I was like, perfect. I have to go laser surgery. I'm getting it right now. It's a big green laser beam.
Oh, my God.
So that's it. You sleep a lot. You're tired, nauseous, weird nausea. Like in the middle of the night, you wake up and there's just a knot in your stomach. And I'm thinking, like, it's probably the radiated tissue drain. You know, as a medic, I'm picturing what's happening. Like it's draining through the lymph. It's collecting in the gut, and it's like irradiated. And you're like, oh, my urine probably glows in the dark right now. You know what I mean? Exactly. It doesn't. But anyway, not to get too blue here. But anyway. So anyway, that's it. You sleep a lot. There's a lot of psychological to it. Yeah. You would imagine,
yeah.
Patrick. I mean, you're just every day you're faced with that. When you said, what's it feel like when you first realize that?
Yeah.
It never goes away. That thought always comes and goes, and I have cancer. Okay. I'm going to go for a run because I have cancer. And you know, like that just always is like, it's there. It's always there. And so, It can eat away with you. You know, there's a lot of fear involved in it. There's a lot of, you know, a tendency for depression. Again, you know, like we were talking about the previous guest. And it's just, you got to do something else other than think about it or learn how to think about it. And I think working out's great and hanging out with people is absolutely necessary. I just bought a house before I got diagnosed.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's great. Almost zero money left.
Right.
Which, it's fine. I'll be fine. But I'm up there all alone in the middle of the woods. And I really realized I can't sit around here. I got to get out. So hanging out with family, hanging out with Craig Black, Jesse Allreed, Mike Adago, these guys have been fantastic to me.
Good crew.
And it's just bad. Great guys. So, so we're, you know, just go out and just hang out. What's going on? You know, just whatever. You just feel normal for a while. I ended up doing a podcast. By the way, Traumedy Podcast is my TRAU.
Here's your plug.
MEDY, traumedypodcast.com. Kenneth Allen, your loyal and loving host. So I did one with Engine 34 and USAR 34, you know, when they did the flood relief.
The flood rescue is correct,
It was great. It was a fun podcast just to get all those guys around. And those guys hate talking about themselves until they start talking.
Oh, yeah.
And then they love just, you know, it's great. But while I was there, you know, Captain Riley's like, hey, man.
Right,
Another cancer survivor, and his was insane. I'll let him talk about it from when he wants to.
Yeah, we got
to
get him on as well.
Yeah, and I met him a couple times, never really hung out with the guy, but, you know, he just said, man, anytime you want to come over here, just come over.
Absolutely.
You got to be normal. You know what I mean? He's like, I get it. He's like, I get it. Just come by if you know, he's like, just if anything.
Right.
And you look at him, you're like, I know what you mean.
Right.
I know what, you know, he knows what I'm going through. And likewise. So just to have that kind of access to you guys, you know, still. And it just,
of course.
What's up, dude? Yeah, I know. Hey, and it's fun. But you're just kind of like, damn it, that's so good.
And this is part of the
reason
why we're doing this is because Ken hasn't been around the stations because he's off right now. He's fighting cancer. So we want to make sure our brothers and sisters know what's going on. They know what the scoop is. And they know how you're doing.
Yeah.
They can reach out to you.
Anytime.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Anytime. And guys are doing that on Facebook. Hey, brother, what's up? Just thinking about you.
Good.
Give me a text or, you know, what's up?
It's, I mean, and we, you know, right across the hallway, the executive board meeting's going on and the ship reps. The hardest thing to do is to keep track of our guys and gals that are on disability.
Yeah.
And just like you said, it can be a dark place by yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's incumbent upon us, all local 230 members, all San Jose firefighters, to always reach out to those people that kind of, Not to say that they're off the radar, but more so just they could be in their own dark place that they need someone to give them a phone call, reach out to them, just like we were talking about depression, PTSD, all these things are going to have a play on all of us and how we live our lives outside the fire station, sometimes even in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, if we can even hit one or two people that can say, okay, it's time to make a phone call, then we're doing our job here.
Yeah, that's important. You need to feel needed, I think is the key for anyone's happiness. I've been really thinking about this a lot. What makes people undepressed? What makes somebody's life worthwhile? And it's being significant. And this job really makes guys feel significant.
Yeah.
We do, no matter how much people, you know, they bitch about going on calls or whatever, dude, I'm telling you, those calls make you a you're an integral part of society when it starts to fall apart.
Absolutely.
We got the reins to go, I got this. Right?
Absolutely.
I got this.
Yep.
We'll handle this when they don't know who to call. Will they call us? We're professional problem solvers.
Problem fixers, yeah.
That's it. So when you don't have that in your life, you're not that important anymore. It's like, you know, the older people, they live longer if they just work as a greeter at Walmart. Like, you got to have some purpose to get up and do something. So this is kind of a PSA to those guys and girls that are out right now that are on disability. Find something to do. Find a schedule and find an obligation.
Absolutely. And the fire stations are always up. Welcome. Don't ever feel like you can't come by the house and say hello to the guys and gals, because that's part of your life. Absolutely. So let's see. We covered what the message you'd like to deliver to your brothers and sisters would be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a message possibly for any of our elected officials in San Jose or the workers' compensation people, Athens, the third-party administrator?
Oh, that'll be in my deposition.
Deposition.
Yeah, we'll keep that. We'll keep all of that together. I don't really have anything to say to that. I mean, I think I'm making my point here.
Yeah.
Monetarily speaking, it makes more sense, especially because maybe, the fact of the matter is more firefighters are going to live longer.
Yeah.
So it's going to come out of the city's coffers. So you can either look at it through an actuarial table.
Right. Prevent the problem before it comes out.
Or you could come at it from a humanitarian
level. Yeah, right. Take
level,
care of the people that are taking care of you.
Speak in front of the city.
Right.
Do a presentation and explain how the city's going to back the firefighters.
Yeah.
And get reelected.
The political approach.
So think about it. Either way you want to do it,
exactly.
This is going to be a reality in the future.
Yeah.
This is going to have to be addressed. So you can come after it either, you know.
And I hope it doesn't have to come down to a vote of whether or not we're going to support cancer prevention for firefighters.
Right.
Does
this is
really
a
have
unique.
To come down to that?
No, it won't. It's going to happen anyway. It's
right.
The wave. So what you can do is be out in front of the wave and say what you're going to do. And so I think that's what we're trying to do, is get protocols in place. My situation is kind of establishing, you know, as a spearheading this whole situation, what's going to go down in the future for firefighters. And if we start to get these things in place and moving forward, we'll look like we're, on the vanguard of cancer prevention, cancer care at San Jose.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to be a leader in something at San Jose. We're the tech leaders. We don't really have much in lines of technology, unfortunately.
Right.
Like, we're using old technological equipment. But everyone looks at San Jose as at the forefront.
Exactly.
We're moving forward. We're in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
We should be at the forefront of something like cancer research. Something, you know, where people go, look what they're doing for humanity in more ways than just microchips.
Yeah. I like teaming up with a hospital as well to try to get plugged into some database.
Absolutely.
Research of the actual patients.
Mm-hmm.
What are they coming down with? How are we treating them? How long have they been in the fire service? Tell me what fires they've been to.
Right.
One of the things I know, a message that we could give our brothers and sisters was exposure reporting.
So I have written a PSA for everybody, just so you know.
Nice.
I'll send it to you. We can
Perfect.
Put it at the end of this thing. We need to do what I've kind of set up is a three-pronged approach to this thing. We go on fires. We should probably wash ourselves down.
There you
after
go.
You come out. Hose your gear off.
Gross decon.
On scene.
Exactly.
Get back to the station, take all your gear off, put it in the bag, change out your gear, and now you're ready to go with new gear. Sorry if you get another fire, you get another fire, but this is the protocol up until that point. Go and take a shower.
Yeah.
Wash twice.
There you go.
Because you know how many you go on fires, you come back, your hair smells like
it still
smoke.
Smells.
Next day, smells like smoke. You take a shower, it smells like smoke. You work out the next day, you smell like smoke.
Yeah.
We got to wash twice. I'm trying to set up some kind of partnership with a hygienic company and make some kind of decontaminating soap.
Yeah, something that would pull out those
carcinogens
somehow or the materials that they're kind of bound with when they melt or when they're on fire, when they off gas. We can actually extract that from the skin or any of these areas that we get exposed to. The neck mainly, the face.
Neck, face, neck, ears. Yeah, all of that. Hair. If it gets in the hair, it eventually gets to the scalp, which goes to the brain and forth. So all of that that's in your hair that you smell is going to get absorbed.
Yeah.
We got to get that out. So some kind of lathered shampoo or something that, anyway, I've been talking about. So
documenting the exposure.
That's it. You finish that up, you take a shower, clean yourself twice, and then just before and you do anything else, go fill out that exposure.
So the 240-120A, it's obviously kind of an antiquated system. The database isn't necessarily available for us, the members, on a need-to-know basis, right? It's like, okay, I just got diagnosed with cancer. I need to track this to a specific exposure to this fire or that fire or the 20 fires I've been to in a five-year career.
Exactly.
But it's not available to us immediately.
That's
so
right.
There are other resources out there right now. We're working with CPF to try to get their online app where you can, from your phone, just plug in the address, the date, the incident number, and you can even tag other people that were on that fire for you.
As long as there's a database.
Exactly.
I'm fortunate that I found a lot of fires I was on.
Good.
And that's a product of Darren Wallace also working really hard for me.
Excellent.
So Chief Wallace, thank you again for doing that. My most sincere thanks to you.
Excellent.
So that's important. You got to have that stuff documented.
Yep.
Otherwise, who are we up against? We're up against the state of California, the city of San Jose, federal government. I mean, that's Stefani had to go talk to Congress and the Senate to get all of this presumptive care done. So you're not going to have as much money to fight the lawyers.
Right.
You got to have your documentation ready to go.
Right.
So I'm lucky I got 50 plus some odd, you know, active fires that I've been on. So.
And this is a busy fire department. We're going to go to fires. You're going to get exposed to things. You got to document it.
The one thing that stops us from saving ourselves is laziness. It's the one thing. I don't want to wear an SCBA. It's that. Rather than going, let's just do it.
Exactly.
Just that kick your butt training wins out. Put the SCBA on. Change out your gear. Shampoo twice. And fill out an exposure report. It takes 5 minutes.
It's a cultural change, but it is absolutely necessary.
It's a laziness change. It's a lifestyle change, really.
Yeah. But this story, sharing experience, I hate to say you're the martyr, but you absolutely...
I'm not going
to
die. No, I'm a martyr.
There you go.
I'm an example.
There you go.
I'm the example. A very, very particular with my word use now.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to use ending sentences with prepositions, but this is my new goal.
Oh, my.
That's right.
The Oxford educated.
Okay. Got to find things to do while you're not doing anything.
I hear you.
Well,
so what's the future hold? When can we expect...
I'm looking at what's supposed to happen in the near future. I have to get a qualified medical evaluation, which is tomorrow. Talk to a doctor, see what his recommendations are. I was looking at coming back to light duty at least by the end of the month.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And then get back to active duty because that's all I want to do.
You want to be back on the line.
Yeah. I want to see how dangerous it will be if I keep getting ingesting carcinogens. So that's the thing I need to talk about with a couple of people. But I miss the job.
Yeah.
I miss saving lives and helping people. It's so much fun. And I miss being around the family.
Yeah.
That's what's like, it's the one civil service job where you're just buds when you show up and you're like, yeah, good morning, guys. And you just sit down and you drink coffee. It's great.
14 boys, we'll hang out off duty, we'll go bowling, we'll go out have some beers. And all the spouses, didn't you just spend 48 hours hanging out with these guys at work? Hey, you know what? It's a bond that's stronger than most other occupations, certainly.
Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, we care about you, Ken. We want you back as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But we also need to make sure this story gets out to the rest of our brothers and sisters so they take care of themselves and they know this is something that can catch anybody, any single member. Doesn't matter age, sex, religion. Mm-hmm. What you're eating, what you're working out, it can nip you in the butt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I know we're rounding it up, but I mean, I always say guys in this, but like females are huge issues for cancer. They look at the higher risk in breast cancer, ovarian cancer, you know, cervical cancer. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff is so much more aggressive and harder to fight and longer.
Right.
So just everybody, please. I think women are probably better at hygiene than men are for the most part.
Right.
But everybody, just clean yourself. Just manicure your lives, your bodies, and your lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
Because I want everybody to live a long, happy retirement.
Absolutely.
That's what I just want, you know?
So, yeah.
you realize the most important things in life is just happiness, comfort, and a long, happy life.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Well, that's it. We get deep with
Ken Allen. A lot of money. I need a lot of money. A lot of trips. And okay. Love affairs and everything else, right? Exactly. But you got to be alive to experience all these things.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So wash your hair twice.
There you go. Dummies. That's the message from firefighter Ken Allen.
Yep.
Thank you again for coming on. You're very welcome, sharing
Patrick.
The story.
Yep. Thanks.
Wish you the best of luck in the recovery.
Thank you.
As well as the lawsuit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we hope to see you soon.
We're moving forward. Good.
Perfect.
Thanks. Can't wait to see you out there.
Perfect, Ken.
Blue zone. Okay.